So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Betty. We're finally back to talking about Outlander tonight. We're going to be discussing the ninth episode of season one called The Reckoning. But before we get into all of that, I have a few things to say off the top. After listening back to the last episode, I don't have anything to add to the discussion. But I did notice that I have made a lot of changes since I did the last episode of Outlander. And if y'all only listen to this show, then y'all may not know the changes that I've made. So I want to discuss a few of those right now. Number one, I changed the name of the show. It is no longer Talking About Fun Things. It's called Talking About Fun TV Shows. And the reason why I wanted to do that was because I started this podcast and I thought I was going to be talking about my hobbies. And that's just not the direction I'm going. I talked to a few seasoned podcasters and they told me that I probably want to narrow it down to grow my audience. So I changed it from fun things to fun TV shows because I talk about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Men in Kilts, and Outlander, and those are fun TV shows. So that's the reason for the name change. Another thing that I want to talk about, I've renamed my episodes, and again, that's another thing I've made it because I looked through the podcast, and I realized that the way I was naming these episodes, it was so confusing and it was boring, and so I hope I've made it more organized and made it easier for y'all to find what episodes y'all want to listen to, because I know some of y'all probably don't want to listen to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, so if you don't want to listen to that, you can skip through it, if you don't want to listen to episodes about Outlander. You don't have to, so it's just, I've gone through it and organized it better. So hopefully it's a lot easier to navigate through the podcast site there. Number three, I've changed the music. Like, I was listening to some of my earlier episodes and I realized that theme song, not a bad theme song, but when you hear it, like, repeatedly, like, over and over and over, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, but it can get a little annoying. So I've changed the theme songs to each show to reflect that show, because, like, on The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I have something that's more, sounds something more like the Marvel theme song. And for Men in Kilts, I found some bagpipe music. And for this episode, for this show, Outlander, y'all may have noticed that I have bagpipes playing now instead of that stuff that I had before. So anyway, and number four, I've added more social media platforms. You can find all the links to them in the descriptions. And by the way, if you are listening to this on YouTube, you can hit the subscribe button and the notifications button because, so that y'all can figure out when I post new content over there. Let's see, what else do I have written down here? I guess that's it. I guess I've talked enough about all of this. So let's just dive right into, we're talking about Outlander tonight. So the synopsis reads, Jamie and the others manage to rescue Claire from the hands of Blackjack Randall. But Jamie is particularly upset with her for wandering off. into the woods and getting caught in the first place. Harsh words are exchanged, but Claire is prepared to overlook anything he said, but she isn't quite prepared for the punishment she receives at his hand for disobeying him and putting everyone's life in danger. They return to Castle Leok, where Jamie must explain to Leary McKenzie how it is he is now married. Colin McKenzie, meanwhile, is none too pleased with their return, particularly that they were collecting money for the Jacobites. Okay, so this episode opens up with Jamie saying a voiceover, and I wrote it down. I also went back to the first episode and wrote what Claire said. But Jamie says, strange the things you remember. The people, the places, the moments in time burned into your heart forever, while others fade in the mist. I've always known I'd live a life different from other men. And when I was a lad, I saw no path before me. I simply took a step and then another, forever forward, ever onward, rushing toward some place I knew not where. And one day I turned around and looked back and saw that each step I'd taken was a choice to go left, to go right, to go forward, or even not go at all. Every day, every man has a choice between right and wrong, between love and hate. Sometimes, even between life and death, and the sum of those choices becomes your life. The day I realized that is the day I became a man. And I also wrote Claire's down from the first episode, and hers says, strange the things you remember, single images and feelings that stay with you down through the years, like the moment I'd realized I'd never owned a Woz, that I'd never lived in any place long enough to justify having such a simple thing, and how at that moment I wanted nothing so much in all the world as to have a vase of my own. It was a Tuesday afternoon, 6 months after the end of the war. Somehow in my mind, VE Day, the end of the bloodiest and most terrible war in human history, grows fainter with each passing day. But I can still recall every detail of the day when I saw the life I wanted sitting in a window. I sometimes wonder what would have happened if I'd bought that vase and made a home for it. Would that have changed things? Would I have been happy? Who can say? I know this, even now, after all the pain and death and heartbreak that followed, I still would make the same choices. Okay, so the reason why I wanted to write both of those down is because they're kind of mirror images of each other. You know, the first episode, that's the episode that changed Claire's life forever. And then this episode, and of course, this is the very first episode we're seeing through Jamie's perspective. Most of the time, it's always through Claire's perspective. So they kind of made Jamie the highlight of this episode. And I wanted to... Because this was a turning point in his life. You know, this whole episode is the start of things to come for him. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, showcase that the mirrors, how similar those two speeches are. They're kind of different, but they're kind of the same too. They use, like, strange, the things you remember and you know. But anyways, in this episode, The Reckoning, it starts out, I mean, after that voiceover, it starts out, Jamie is talking to Horrocks, and tells them that Black Jack Randall was the one that killed the man that Jamie is wanted for and everything, and Jamie can't really use this information because he can't go and accuse a captain of, you know, what he did. So, but anyway, Horrocks, you know, gets up to go and leave. And then William, he rides in and tells Jamie that Claire has been taken. And so they all get on their horses and ride off to go save Claire. And it's worth mentioning because, you know, that the theme music comes on after that scene. And then the title card, you know, The Reckoning is the name of the episode. And they show Jamie putting on his kilt, and I thought that was really neat to see how they would put on their kilts back then. They probably still do it today. You know, you have to lay on the floor and wrap it around, and it's really, it's a really neat thing to watch Jamie do. But anyway, in the episode, they've arrived at Fort William to rescue Claire, and they take a guard and they kind of torture him to get to find out where Claire is, and he tells them that, you know, she's in the commander's chamber and all this, and so they knock him out, and Jamie calls for the other men, and so they all run up the stairs that are on the side of the building there. And they run, Jamie runs into another set of guards and he knocks them out and everything. Then he goes to the side of the tower there and there's a rope that he starts climbing down the side. And he gets to the window and you can hear Claire screaming on the outside. But anyway, he goes into the window there, and that's where we left off in the last episode. Is Jamie in the window is telling Blackjack Randall to take his hands off his wife. Then, of course, you know, Blackjack Randall laughs at this because, or he's surprised that Jamie is Claire's husband because Dougal didn't tell him who Claire married. And, of course, Blackjack Randall is being disgusting right here because he wants to see Jamie's back and, yeah. And of course, Jamie tells him that would be the last thing you ever saw if I showed you that. But anyway, he tells Jamie to put the pistol on the table because, you know, if Jamie shoots, he'll alert the whole fort of that Jamie is there. And he also has Claire, you know, by the throat with his knife up against her throat and everything. And so Jamie, you know, starts walking towards him and he does put the gun on the table. And he backs away, and then, of course, Blackjack Randall goes to pick up the pistol, and he points it at Jamie. Of course, Claire is telling Jamie to leave right here, but, you know, of course, Jamie's not going to go. But he points Blackjack Randall points the pistol at Jamie, and he shoots it, but it's empty. And, of course, Blackjack Randall, through all this chaos, you know, through all this, he did put the knife down. So all he had was the empty pistol, and he shoots it at Jamie, but it, like I said, it's empty, and so Jamie takes this opportunity to charge at him and knock him out, and he unties Claire, and she's all surprised that he came with an empty pistol, and of course Jamie explains that Ned told them not to kill anyone, so he had all the weapons unloaded. He covers her up and they leave, but the voiceover right here, Jamie is wondering, you know, why didn't he kill Blackjack Randall right here, and I think the whole audience is wondering why he didn't do this, but he explains that it never occurred to him to take a life as even one as vile as Blackjack Randall while they're unconscious. So they're walking down the stairs and they run into some soldiers in that stairway, and Jamie knocks one out or knocks him down the stairs, and one fires his pistol, so that alerts everybody to that they're there rescuing Claire. So they're running across the way there, and the redcoats are loading their pistols and everything, and then a bomb goes off, and Jamie helps Claire up, and they jump over the side of the tower there into the water together. So the next scene we see, they're riding and they stop to water the horses, of course, and this is Jamie's opportunity to talk to Claire about what just happened, and he wants an apology from Claire. And she doesn't think she has to give him an apology because she was taken hostage by Blackjack Randall. But she doesn't think it's her fault. But Jamie is like, well, it is your fault because I told you to stay put. But why would you listen to me? Because I'm not but your husband, you know. And so they get into this really, really big argument over it. And Claire asks him if he thinks that she did it on purpose. And of course he says, yes, I do believe you did it on purpose because, you know, because of what happened, you know, with the redcoat deserters in the previous episode. And she said that, you know, how would I have known that redcoats would be, you know, she went for a walk, and how would she have known that there would be redcoats there? And, you know, Jamie says, well, I ordered you to stay put, you know? And she, again, you know, she's arguing that she doesn't have to do what he tells her to do. But, and she's his wife, and Jamie points that out, whether she likes it or not. And, but she says that she doesn't like it. And this is where it really gets intense, because she calls him, you know, I can't say it because I got to keep this podcast PG. But, and he tells her that she will not speak to him this way. And, but this really upsets Jamie, because, you know, he went to rescue her at Fort William, where he got his scars. And he also rescued her with an empty pistol, with nothing but his bare hands. And so he says, you know, that she's tearing his guts out because, you know, she seems ungrateful for what he went through to get her. And, but this is where Claire, she realizes she's taking it too far, and she does owe him an apology. So she goes over there and she says she's so sorry, you know, and she asks him to forgive her. And of course he does forgive her. And in the voice over, Jamie says that he would have forgiven her for anything that she's ever done and anything that she could ever do, because for him that was falling in love. And this scene was so beautiful, you know. It's one of those scenes that will bring tears to your eyes if you're not careful, you know. And it does every time. It gets to me every time, because their love is so, you know, Jamie's love for her is so beautiful and so precious, you know. It's just, anyways, so they go to stay at an inn, and they're down there and they're having their dinner and stuff. And the Highlanders, everybody is ignoring Claire. And she doesn't understand why. And of course, I don't think Jamie understands at this moment either. But she excuses herself to go to bed. And Murdaugh points out to Jamie that he needs to discipline her, because she doesn't realize that she put all the men in danger the way she did. So she needs to be punished, you know, for them to, you know, start talking to her again. So Jamie comes in the room, and Claire, you know, she's laying in the bed, and she asks him if he thinks that the men will ever speak to her again. And of course Jamie's like, yes, I do think they'll speak to you again. And he said that if it was just between me and you, you know, I wouldn't do anything, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. All is forgiven, but because you put all the men in danger, you need to be punished. Now, I am really dreading talking about this scene because it is so controversial, but if you look at it like this, it is, you know, this show is set in the 1700s. When men did these sort of things, they had to punish their women physically. And, you know, I'm not saying that it was right, because it's not right. But I think the show handled this scene really well. You know, they put a little bit of humor into it and all of that. So, yeah, I don't want to talk about this scene word for word, because, you know, like I said, it's very controversial, and it rightfully so, it should be, because, you know, men should not touch their women at all. But you got to look at it with the time era that they're in. So anyway, after he punishes Claire, you know, she can't sit down and everything, and the men are laughing at her the next morning, of course. And Jamie realizes he may have screwed up right here. But anyway, so they go back to Castle Leok, and they're all welcomed, and everybody's happy about the married couple and everything. And Colm and his wife comes in, and Colm's wife congratulates them, and Colm, you know, he says that, you know, gives them his best wishes and everything to Lady Brochtura. He doesn't address Jamie at all. He kind of ignores him. And, you know, you can tell that this bothered Jamie, because, you know, he doesn't realize, you know, what he's done wrong here. But, and we'll find out later in the episode what, you know, why Colm is so cold-shouldered towards Jamie. So in the next scene, it shows Jamie walking down the hall, and he runs into Leary, and she's asking him why did he do it? Why did he marry the Sassenach and all this? And you know, Jamie says that he had no choice. You know, he had to do it. He had to marry Claire because it was Dougal's arrangement. But he can't talk to Leary right now. He's got to go and talk with Colum. And he tells Leary that he will talk to her later because he must go and talk to Colum. So he goes and he talks. I mean, he goes into Colum's chamber. And Colum's already having a meeting with Dougal and Ned. And so that now Colum has all three of them together, he asks them about, you know, are they going to get repercussions about Fort William? And Jamie tells Colum, you know, no, any repercussions will fall solely on Jamie because Blackjack Randall will make sure of that. And I guess this is a good enough answer for Colum. But then he asks them about the rents. You know, they start talking about the rents. But he is not, Colum is not talking about the rents for the from the clan. He's talking about the other purse that they collected for the Jacobite cause. And, you know, all the men are like shocked that Colum knows about that. And he says something about Jamie at least looks surprised or looks guilty enough. But Jamie corrects him and says that he doesn't feel guilt. He's just concerned because he owes no loyalty to James or Charlie. But anyway, but then Dougal steps up and says that, you know, they collected this money fair because, you know, they didn't. You know, they didn't make it a secret what they were collecting money for. And, of course, you know, he says he only used the welt on Jamie's back to illustrate the British justice. So, you know, they raised this money honorably. They didn't lie about why they were collecting the money. And Dougal also points out that the cause, you know, of what they were raising the money for the Jacobites, is more important than any man or any clan. And then Colum points out, well, this clan is still under the charge of this man. And the welfare of the clan, the Mackenzie clan, of course, still, it, you know, it comes before any man or country. So, in other words, Colum is just, you know, he doesn't want his clan involved in this cause because, you know, because he wants to keep the clan safe. You know, he wants to keep them out of war. But Dougal, he says that I've been loyal to you, and he starts naming off a whole bunch of things that he's done for Colum, you know, protecting him and, you know, protecting the clan because he's a war chieftain and all. And he says he's even supported his bloodline, you know. And so this was, you know, the confirmation that Dougal is Hamish's father. But, you know, everybody knew it, but nobody was saying it. They've never, you know, they've never said this out loud. So, but Dougal points out that, you know, I think that such loyalty deserves a mere bag of gold. And Colum tells him to get out of his sight. So Dougal leaves, and Ned says that he will try to calm him down. And, you know, Colum says, we'll do it or I'll do it for him. And so Ned leaves, and Jamie wants to leave right here too, but Colum wants him to stay. And he tells Jamie that, you know, I have let you stay here under my protection and all of this. And I, you know, even during the oath, you know, he still protected him from the British and all of this. You know, he still let him stay even after he didn't pledge fealty to him. And how is he recompensed? He says, you go and marry a Sassenach, and knowing full well that nobody in the clan will support you as my successor anymore. And Jamie says that he meant no such betrayal, but, you know, Colum is still upset about it, and he tells him to get out. So then the next scene we see Jamie is putting wood in the fire and Claire's making the bed and everything. They're getting ready to go to bed. And, you know, they're talking about what Jamie, you know, what just happened in the previous scene. And, of course, you know, Jamie is shocked because, you know, about Hamish being Dougal's son. Because everybody rumored about it, but nobody said it out loud. But anyways, he turns around and he's, you know, Claire's getting into the bed and he gets ready to get in bed with her. And she's like, what are you doing? No, you're not. Because she's still upset about him, you know, punishing her. So Jamie leaves and the next scene we see, it's in the forest and they're getting ready to go hunting a stag. But all the Highlanders are beating up on William because he is the one that told Colum about raising the money for the Jacobite cause. So Jamie is sticking up for William because William, you know, Colum asked William about it and, you know, he made an oath to Colum, you know. So Jamie points out that if Colum had asked any of y'all the same question, y'all would have confessed it, wouldn't you not? And so this puts a spotlight on Jamie, Angus, where does his loyalties lie with Dougal or with Colum? And Jamie points out there's only one Laird to the Clan Mackenzie. And Rupert, you know, he speaks up and says that, you know, William will get the punishment that is due to him. And he also says that the Frasers should just mind their own business. And of course, at this moment, Dougal comes up and, you know, he says, I thought we were hunting stag, and, you know, and he asks, who's with me? And of course, all the men start following him. I'm not sure if Jamie and Murdaugh went with Dougal or not, but anyway. So in the next scene, Jamie and Murdaugh, they're peeing on the side of the wall, but that's not important. But they start talking about how the rift between the brothers makes it kind of dangerous for them to be at Castle York right now, and Murdaugh says that they should get gather up Claire and go and live off the land and stuff. And Jamie is like, well, you know, you're speaking like an unmarried man, because, you know, that would be, you know, they're already having problems in their marriage as it is. You know, Jamie can't just pack up Claire and go and live off the land. And Myrtle says, well, we'll find safe beds for, I mean, we'll leave and intend for Claire, you know, later. But Jamie doesn't want to do that either. And Myrtle says, well, what choice do we have? We either stay and we pick a side, because it's not like Colum is going to give Dougal the money. But Myrtle also points out that it doesn't matter either way, because he doesn't think that the Bonnie Prince Charlie is going to be coming from Italy anytime soon. And this gives Jamie this idea, because, you know, he's like, he isn't, is he? And so the next scene we see, Jamie is talking with Colum. Of course, Colum's very upset, you know, because he doesn't want to give back the money to Dougal. But Jamie is trying to convince him to do it because, you know, it's not like in the previous scene, you know, nothing's happening. What harm would it be to give Dougal this money back? And it would keep the peace between the clan, you know. So, and meanwhile, you know, Colum can bide his time so that when the, if the Jacobite Rising ever comes, he can decide whether they go to war or not. Because he is the Laird of the clan. So Colum agrees to do this, and he has Jamie send for Dougal and Ned Gowan. And he gives Dougal back the money, and, you know, he tells Dougal that one of these days, you know, you're going to get, your mouth is going to wind your head up on a spike. But, you know, he's allowing him to play the rebel and all of this. And he says to send word to have a banquet for the Duke of Sandringham, so he could get a perspective of the Jacobite cause from an Englishman. And of course, you know, Ned is pointing all this out, but Colum tells him that it's going to take a while for either any of y'all to get back on my good graces, and he dismisses all three of them. So the next scene we see is Jamie, and of course, you know, it's back to that first scene we saw where he's skipping rocks, and the voiceover is saying that he should be happy that he averted you know, a bad situation with the two brothers, and he fixed the situation, and he should be glad about it, but he's not, because there's still a rift between him and Claire. And of course, Leary shows up behind him, and she says, I was expecting to find you here because, you know, apparently this was a secret place of Jamie's, but it wasn't so secret because Leary found him and all this. And, of course, Leary points out that Jamie had promised to talk, and she's saying that it was a gallant thing that he had done to marry Claire to save her from the British. Jamie was like, it was more than that. You know, yes, it was Dougal's arrangement, but, his marriage actually means more to him. And she points out that he doesn't look very happy to be married. And she starts pointing out that he took a beating for her in the Great Hall. And, you know, she thinks that he feels the same for her that she does for him, because they were kissing and all of this too. And to be honest with you, Jamie, you know, probably did lead her on a little bit, but we all know why he was kissing her in that hallway is because he was trying to make Claire jealous. And she removes her cloak, and of course she's wearing just a shift or a corset underneath, and she's trying to tempt Jamie to, you know, do, because she says that she's laying with no man and all of this, and basically she's trying to seduce Jamie, but it doesn't work. He stops it because he's made a vow to Claire, and he won't break it even for someone as beautiful as Leary is. And this upsets Leary, and she runs away. And of course, Jamie feels bad for it, you know, and he's saying sorry to her. But anyway, the next scene we see, Jamie is coming back to him and Claire's room. And, you know, Claire is sitting there, and she's brushing her hair, and she's still upset with him, of course. And Jamie is talking about how Colum and Dougal have mended their rift, and that it made him mindful of, you know, because he's seen a stubborn man bend, you know, and almost look weak to, you know, their fences were mended. In other words, and he's trying to do that with Claire, and he said that Scotland is full of tradition, but maybe it needs to go a different way for him and Claire, you know, because he points out that, you know, when wives disobey their husbands, they get disciplined, but it needs to go a different way between him and Claire. And so he takes out his knife, and he kneels before Claire, and he swears an oath to her. And he asks her if that's enough. And she looks at him and she says that it shouldn't be enough, but it is enough. And they make love. And during this lovemaking, she takes his knife and makes him swear that he will never raise another hand to her again, or else she will cut his heart out. Of course, he swears that he won't do it ever again. So anyway, after the lovemaking, Jamie and Claire are laying there on the floor, and Jamie asks Claire what a couple words meant, and again, I cannot repeat these words. I've got to keep this podcast PG, but you know, y'all are familiar with the scene, and Claire explains to him what they mean, and Claire mentions that she is hungry. And so Jamie gets up and pulls his tartan out from under the bed. And, of course, there's a thing under the bed that Claire sees. And she pulls it out, and it's an ill wish. And Claire asks Jamie who would leave something like that under their bed. And, of course, he points out that it was probably Leary. And that's the end of the episode. I guess that's the end of the discussion portion of this episode. And guys, I don't have any trivia. I did find one little trivia, but obviously what it said was that this is the first episode seen through Jamie's eyes. And obviously, okay. So I'm not going to have any trivia tonight, but y'all stay tuned for news. So the big news I have, if y'all haven't already heard, is that Diana Gabaldon has a publishing date for Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone. It is going to be released on November 23rd of this year. So we all have something to look forward to. It'll be great for Christmas presents and everything. So I'm really excited about that. I'm not actually caught up yet, but hopefully I can get caught up by the time this book comes out. So anyway, that's all the news I have, and I don't have any listener feedback. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. I am not going to stress about that anymore. It has been really weighing on me, and it's been really stressful and kind of frustrating because, you know, I watch these shows, each show that I do. I will watch them once for pleasure, you know, once to enjoy it. And then I'll watch it again to come up with the questions that I was coming up for the listener feedback. And then I have to watch it again. And the third time I have to watch it little piece by piece so that I can get the information about the episode to y'all. And it's really stressful to have to do that. It makes it not fun, and I don't want it to not be fun. The minute that this podcasting stuff stops being fun for me, I may as well just throw in the towel about it, because, you know, but I really want to do this because I love these shows, and, you know, I have my sister, but I don't really have a lot of friends to talk about Outlander and to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. You guys are like my friends. If y'all are listening to this, I consider y'all my friends, you know. This is my way of being able to talk about these shows. So if I have to do it and it's such tedious work for me, it's not fun for me. And it's a lot of work, and, you know, if it's not fun for me, I may as well just stop. And I don't want to stop. So, yeah, I'm not going to be doing the listener feedback questions anymore. And I'm, you know, if I do get listener feedback, that's great. But I am not going to stress out about it anymore, because it was really bothering me there for a little while and upsetting me. But anyway, that's enough on that. If y'all want to get in touch with me, I'm going to leave the links in the description below on how to find me and stuff. So that's going to wrap up this episode. Y'all keep having fun. But she doesn't, I don't...